But if you look at the two people, Mao and Deng, you should see there's a huge difference between them. Mao was rural, from a peasant household, very left-wing. Deng Xiaoping came from a bourgeois little middle-class family whose family afforded him to study in France in the late 1910s and 1920s. These are left-wing bourgeoisies. They are couch communists, you know, couch Marxist, we call that. They believe in the theory, but they may not do things like that. So this is a huge difference, makeup in the Communist Party. They represented these two. You must see that, because that without that, you won't understand the thing. So it's the struggle between more fundamentalists and people who are left-wing, left-leaning, but not precisely communist in many ways. And this continues today, by the way, if you want to understand communist China. So this is the struggle, and Mao knew he was losing control, basically. He was losing the trust of his colleagues, and he was losing the trust of the country, of the people, you know, who had suffered. Now, he was in his 70s now, and he truly believed, maybe, we don't know, he truly believed that this was because the revolution was not carried to the end, and he thought he had not many years left, and he should use the left of his years to carry the revolution to the end. Now, his colleagues didn't quite trust him. The adults who had suffered from his policy wouldn't trust him. And if he needed to mobilize the people again, who would he choose? Who would he still have? And you need to tell me, if you were in my classroom, that Mao could, you know, mobilize in this war against capitalism. Because capitalism, in this sense, also implied imperialism, right? Because it's Britain and America. So, naturally, he was a rebel in his adolescence days. He mobilized the youth. It's a bit much like today's, you know, terrorists who would recruit teenagers who got stuck with an idea and would die for that idea. So, Mao called on the youth of the country to take up the responsibility of carrying the revolution to the end. He received them in 8 times alone in 1966. He stood on Tiananmen Square as thousands of them thronged to meet him, to see the Messiah, basically. They cried. It's like they saw Michael Jackson. They cried. I mean, I couldn't understand that. When I saw people thronging to see Michael Jackson and cry, I understood what the Red Guards, because I was too small at that time. So people would journey thousands of miles from countryside of China, from anywhere, go to Beijing and get a glimpse of him, and then go back to their localities to carry the revolution to the end. So Mao's message to them is, the older generation are feudal. They want to go to the capitalist road, and that's wrong. And we want to make China a utopia. And you're the only one who can do that, because you're the morning sun. You're the sun in the morning. You can carry out, and your job is to rebel, to destroy the feudal elements, you know, the bourgeois, the capitalist elements of China, and you are the Red Guards. That's where the famous phrase and people came from. It's like a cult. You're the Red Guards because you're the guardian of the revolution. You're going to guard this revolution. And you can imagine how the kids were fired up. Finally, they have a cause. You know, without a cause, they rebel, right? Normally, and now they have a cause. And you can imagine what happened to China. They stopped going to school. There's no need for school. We're the guardians of a revolution. They traveled around the country. They smacked. What they would do is,